McNabb stepping in for the Knights. He scores! Walked right out in front, and Braden McNabb, you read his lips, he just said wow himself. Eakin on the right sidewall, coming up to the slot. Lots of room, Eakin shoots and scores! Second goal of the game for Cody Eakin. Right circle, Schmidt threw it across the net mouth. In front, stop, another try, score! Tatar! Reeves in the right side to the right circle, centering feed, a shot, they score! Belmar fires from between the circles. Marchessault peels off on the right wing near side. To the slot, he shoots, he scores! Marchessault! 4-3 Knights! Vegas wins in overtime!
And welcome in, Game Day Friday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman here with you. And just the start kind of a long, long days, guys, but hopefully it will be a good night tonight. Best of three series now. Game five tonight, and game five, well, there's a reason they call it the pivotal game five, Clayton.
Yeah, it's winner of game five, a very successful when it goes on to winning a best of seven series. A lot of tension in the air today at practice, but only in the stands. Boys very loose out on the ice.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's a good sign. And they've been loose pretty much all year long. And every time that they've needed a big win, they've come up with it. Let's be honest about it. As much as they wanted to win the last game, and they certainly tried to win it, San Jose was in desperation mode. San Jose played their best game of the series. They won 4-0. That is not indicative of how close these two teams are, because it's more like the overtime games. These teams are kind of mirror images of each other. San Jose can score with all four lines, as can Vegas. San Jose has a lot of speed, as does Vegas. San Jose got great goaltending, as does Vegas on most nights. So these teams have a lot of similarities here. Will the home ice be the difference? Well, you think it's a big advantage, and the players say it is, and the coaching staff says it is, but if you look at the stats this year in the playoffs, not so much.
Yeah, not so much, and it held to form again last night, right at 50%. So maybe the big question mark will be answered tonight when Boston and Tampa get together.
Does that mean I have to root for Boston tonight?
Yes.
Because I don't know if I can do that. I just don't know if I can do that. I do not like the dirty little rat, but maybe I can root for him because maybe he won't be playing.
Maybe he won't be playing. News in from Boston today, and Brad Marchand, a game-time decision for the Bruins. Jake DeBrusk, also a game-time decision. They said that Ryan Donato, though, will play no matter what the status of Marchand or DeBrusk.
All right, well, we'll get to that stuff later on a little bit because it is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, and had a chance to check out the morning skate. And I agree with you. I thought the guys looked loose, but I also thought I saw some intensity out there. And then after tonight's game, they will be getting ready to head on over to McCarran and fly right out of here and go right up to San Jose, get a good night's rest. And game Sunday, which, by the way, will be out at Parkway Tavern right up the street here, 215 in Flamingo. So we know we have a game tonight. We know we have a game on Sunday. Will we have a game seven or not? Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but what do you make of tonight's game? Because I don't really have a feeling for it. I mean, I kind of do in some ways. I think Vegas is going to come out a lot better. I know they have to come out a lot better if they want to be competitive, and that's what everybody's saying, and the players and coaches and the fans around town are all saying it. Well, we're going to play a lot better game, and while I do think they will play a better game, I still don't know if it's going to be a good enough game to beat San Jose the way they're playing right now. And the thing that scares me the most maybe is that Martin Jones is by far coming off his best game.
Yeah, Martin Jones is certainly playing well. He's been the X factor in this series when we saw what happened when he was off in game one, but he's rebounded and played really well. He's certainly going to be the center of our game preview, game number five. San Jose at Vegas, brought to you by Findlay Honda North. Happy Honda days happen here. Findlay True North Honda in the Northwest at Centennial Hills. And what will be curious for me, Frank, is just who's going to be on the ice today. Generally in morning skate, it is very clear about what the lines in the roster will be going into tonight. Not so much today. Head coach Gerard Gallant playing a little bit of games with everybody. He had Lucas Pisa and John Merrill working together in the same group. Both of them left the ice together. Lindbergh and Ryan Carpenter, Nosek and Tatar, they were working in the same group. They all left the ice together. So unclear in the press conference as well. He said, watch warm-ups, and then I will tell you who's going to play, but we could have some lineup changes tonight.
Yeah, I thought it was also interesting when he was asked the question about if there's any lineup changes, he said, could be. And then they're like, you're going to tell us? And he was like, no. And then he actually asked the media back. He said, do other coaches tell you this? And a couple of people said, well, yes, yeah, some of them do. Sometimes they do in that. And he just kind of shrugged like, hmm. And you could tell that in his mind, he's going, really? Well, then they're dummies.
Right.
Because why would I tell you? I mean, I don't know about you, but that's the sense I got from it.
Right.
Because when people said that, yes, some of them do, he kind of looked like, shrugged his shoulders like, really? Because they don't have to. So why would they? Because as soon as I tell you guys anything, the social media is going to blow up with it.
Right. And Marc-Andre Fleury and Malcolm Subban both also left the ice together, but I'm not buying into that one at all. Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be in net tonight.
Yes, I would definitely concur. And I'm also going to say it's not going to go really in depth and throw a total problem out there and make it a super surprise that Max Lagasse is in net. It will be Marc-Andre Fleury.
Well,
we are sure of that.
He was on the ice today.
I know it won't be Subban because they let me talk to him after practice, and if it wasn't him, they would not have allowed me to talk to Subs after practice.
But see, that would just make the conspiracy that much more.
Yeah.
Even he got to talk to somebody on the game day really to throw everybody off.
I am part of the – we got some X-File stuff here.
Yeah, and I only brought that up with Subban because I thought it was hilarious because I saw that he went to such great efforts, I said, to get Merrill and Spies off together and to get Lindbergh, Carpenter, Tatar, and Nosek off together, and that Subban and Fleury left the ice at the exact same time. It made me laugh. It was my fun for the day of practice.
There was a lot of people around Spezza.
There were a lot of people around Spezza.
Does that mean anything? I don't know.
His answer was, I'll be ready if they call on me. But he said flat out, I don't know.
Yeah, and he's also told us he'd be ready if they called on him ever since the LA series.
Mm-hmm. But so John Merrill,
what else would he say?
But John Merrill also said, I'll be ready if they want me tonight.
Yeah.
So.
And you know what? If we ask Brad Hunt, he'd say the same thing.
Right.
And if we ask Oscar Lingerby, what player's not going to say he's going to be ready unless he's on the IR or something? So we will see tonight. But I think there might be a little tweaking here and there. And if it's not actually personnel on the ice, there might be a little line change or something. And remember, we saw that in the last game with San Jose. One of the reasons they had that good game was because they had a couple players drawing into the lineup, and those guys contributed.
Yeah, and we also don't know if we'll get Joe Thornton. I think we won't, but... You never know.
I think, you know, in a lot of ways, I hope we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he would be a detriment. As great as a player as he's been, I don't think he's ready. He hasn't played a game in so long. At least others guys, we know that they've been playing hard and practicing hard and everything. If Joe Thornton's been doing anything really hard and intense, he's been kind of doing it on under the radar and around his own because it hasn't been in the practices because Ryan and other people that we know have been there, a lot of the newspaper guys and that, they've been at the San Jose practices too, and he might have been on the ice, but he wasn't out there really giving his all. So I think the speed of this round of the between these two games, if they put Thornton out there, that's an advantage to Vegas.
Yeah, it really is, and you're seeing the transformation of the San Jose Sharks before our very eyes from those veteran leaders to the young core that's going to be there. And I'm not of the persuasion that this is the last hurrah for San Jose. I think they're at the beginning of a new window right now with this group that they've got.
No, I agree with you because I have a lot of good young players. And they're old players. They're old, but they're still talented in that. It's not like Seabrook and Keith with the Blackhawks, who their old players are old and they've lost a lot. If Burns or Pavelski, those guys, you guys have lost anything, it's very minimal right now. They still have a lot of talent. The young guys are very, very good on this team. So I'm with you. I think they are possibly a team on the rise. Everybody talks about Anaheim and L.A. I think they also feel a little bit slighted because it's like they're like the other California team because they're not from SoCal.
Yeah, and I believe that their window is still wide open. Where maybe Anaheim particularly and L.A. to maybe a lesser degree, their window may be starting to close a little bit.
No, let's hope that for this particular 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs that their window closes here real quick
that
the Golden Knights can get the job done. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman with you. We did have a chance to catch up with a couple people over at City National Arena today, and Chris Chapman got to sit in with Colin Miller a little bit. If they're going to win tonight, I think that he could be instrumental in that victory. And Chris basically opened up and asked him about the highs and lows of this series up to this point.
Colin, just kind of talk about the highs and lows of this series because it's been a very back and forth series.
Yeah, it has. I mean, I don't know. That's playoff hockey. We the first round, we did a good job, you know, kind of staying out of that. And I don't think we had a lot of those kind of feels of a real series. But, yeah, it's been tough. I mean, both teams have won in each other's buildings, and both teams have won a game in overtime. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's an emotional one, and it's just getting more and more amped up here.
It seems like as the series goes on, San Jose is playing better and better each game. What do you guys need to do to be able to kind of counteract that?
I don't know. I think I don't think we've had a full, you know, 60-minute effort yet. Well, other than that first game there, you know, I think we really need to get back, you know, to just kind of focusing maybe more on small segments of the game and the time that we're actually in and go from there. But when we're able to do that, I think that's when our game is moving, and that's when our games are best.
In a game like the other night where they score with just a few seconds left in the period, how demoralizing is that when you're right at the end of the period and you score a goal like that?
Yeah, it's tough. Those are always, you know, kind of keys to the game. You know, the first minute, last minute of a period, you always want to make sure that you're not giving up anything in those. But it happens, right? And I thought we did a good job responding during the beginning of that second period. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's tough. It's serious. Things are going to happen. But you just gotta move on and keep going.
This whole season, you guys have had a game-to-game approach. Is it now to the point where you guys are taking a period-to-period approach?
I think, I don't know if it's always been game-to-game, to be honest. I mean, we always try to break down the game. We always try to make sure that we're playing in those little segments. So just make sure that, you know, we're taking it 10 minutes at a time or whatever it may be and going from there.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Colin Miller there earlier over at City National Arena. And there's a guy that I'm going to predict will be on the ice tonight.
He certainly will be. One of only two guys this year that played in all 82 games, just he and William Karlsson. So Colin Miller, one of those guys, been really a centerpiece of this whole team effort.
Yeah, and really, I think his play in the playoffs has probably been even a little bit better than it was in the regular season. He's picked up his game a lot. He's shooting a lot. He's doing a lot of good things out there. When he's on his game, he adds a lot to the offense as well as the defense of this team.
And I do have to clarify one thing. We're kidding. We're joking. I've gotten some texts about Marc-Andre Fleury, people freaking out that maybe he might not play. He's playing. We were kidding about him and Subban going off at the same time, which they did, but we're kidding about what it means. Marc-Andre Fleury in net, so everybody that's texted me, it's okay.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it's okay. We were joking, sarcasm.
The social media, I guess that just shows you, got to watch what you truly got to watch what you say.
Right, exactly. But no, they really did leave the ice at the same time.
Yeah,
well, it means nothing.
Yeah.
Marc-Andre Fleury in net tonight.
Yeah, and nobody was allowed to talk to him. So, yes he will be in net.
Yes.
All right. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Frank Reiner, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman, Colin Miller. Do you have a solid read on this game? And I know I asked you at the top of the show here a little bit because I keep on going over in my head. I'm not. Is it going to be a low-scoring game? The last couple games we've seen some goals, and it's not. And I don't think it's because the goalies have played necessarily bad. I think both offenses have made adjustments and given themselves better opportunities to score. One thing that I do think is kind of strange about this series, and I know a lot of people say shots on goal is a very misleading stat, and we've talked about it here a little bit. Chances are your more important thing, but it seems like almost on a game-to-game basis, or at least frequently, the team that has the most shots doesn't have the most opportunities. It seems like sometimes when shots are there, if guys can't get into out-and-out block them, they kind of stay out of the way because they're clearing somebody else out, and the goalies are just getting a good, solid look at it. Whereas the chances are when you're going east to west and not necessarily north to south and you're really doing that, which can be dangerous at times, but when it clicks, it looks beautiful. Because a lot of the goals in this series, I would say probably the majority of them, it wasn't bad goaltending on hardly any of them. It's been great offense where the goalies had no shot.
Yeah, it's so odd how this has played out because it seems like when the Knights can play fast, they play well. When San Jose can play fast, they play well. And it seemed like the physical play really frustrated San Jose in game one, and the physical play really frustrated the Knights in game two. The speed benefited the Knights in game three. The speed benefited the Sharks in game four. And I really feel like it's really whoever can get out to that lead. That first goal to me means so much, I think, in this series. The first goal in maybe like the next 8 to 10 minutes after that goal, if you can keep the lead or extend to two, because it seems like if you can get a two or maybe, you know, a little three goal lead, you can muck up that offensive zone a whole lot more. And I know that the Golden Knights gave up a two goal lead there before, but they had a number of odd man situations. You know, it was a goal coming right after the power play. It was a goal coming, you know, the 6-on-5, and those sort of situations that it seems like whoever can control the neutral zone, and controlling the neutral zone oftentimes coincides with having a lead.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And man, I wish I had a more confident feeling and I could exude that over the air, but we can't be phony about this stuff either, because I really do think San Jose has played a lot better as this series has gone along. And I think one of the big things is right now they're playing with a lot of confidence. And that's not to say Vegas isn't. They're going to throw that last game away just like San Jose threw the first game away. But when a team gets confidence and they have the ability and the skill set that San Jose does, and then their goaltender's coming off his best game by far of the series, it just makes it dangerous. And I hope it doesn't sound to people out there like I'm trying to say I think they're going to lose tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have as confident of a feeling that I think they're going to win.
Right. And we've had that before, though. We remember when they weren't playing well and they stumbled in to Chicago, and then, you know, had that great goal by Cody Eakin, the goal by Riley Smith, and that really started them on a nice hot winning streak. We had that feeling that two-game trip that they were with the Dads, and they went to Nashville and to Dallas, and two places that it just didn't seem like the team was going well and that they were going to have success, and they win both of those games. So they always tend to surprise us, which is one of the things that I love about this group. They are as resilient as can be, but I really feel like the beginning of this game, like, they need to cash in on chances. If they have 3, 4, 5 chances in the first 12 minutes and aren't able to cash in on one, I think that's when you start to think about, oh, well, maybe the ball is rolling the other direction.
Yeah, I know Gerard Gallant was also asked today in the presser if he thought that tonight's game was a must-win situation, and he kind of smirked at it and threw it aside and said, no, it's not a must-win. It's best of three games. You know, if whoever wins tonight, it's going to be more difficult for the other team, but you go on a two-game winning streak, and then you still win the series. And while I agree with him, and that's the philosophy I know that you have to have as a coach and a team, when you look at it statistically, almost 80% of the teams that win a game five when series are tied 2-2 do go on to win the series. So although it's not a must-win, if you look at the stats of the situation and the reality of it, it's about as close to a must-win as you can have outside of a Game 7.
Yeah, it really is. When you think about, you know, if San Jose loses today, they at least know, hey, we're going home, get one, and then anything can happen in Game 7.
Knights, yeah, because lose. Either way, they have to win one here.
Right, exactly. And if you think about the Knights, if they drop tonight, now they have to go to San Jose with the brink of elimination. Then anything can happen in Game 7. So, yeah, it's tough. But that's why this is fun.
Absolutely. And again, in the back of my mind, part of me is almost hoping I see a Game 7. But I really don't want to, too, because that means that we're on the edge of our seat because all of a sudden this ride could be over, and I really don't want that to happen.
No, I'd rather.
I mean, I definitely want them to win tonight and Sunday. Yeah, I mean, that's what I want. But if it is a Game 7, wow. I might need some extra Excedrin migraines.
All I know is for the folks at the arena tonight, and I know that there's going to be a little bit of angst about tonight. Put the angst in the pocket. Come on out. Think of this as game one. Game one of a best of three, and give it your full voice, because that's what the fellas need to hear tonight. They need to hear a raucous environment. So all the trepidation, put it in the purse.
All right. Well, and one guy that I do think will be instrumental should they win tonight or any of the remaining games in the series, and he doesn't always show up in the box score, scoring goals and getting assists in that, although he does that as well, Pierre-Edouard Belmare. Chris Chapman also had a chance to catch up with him, and this guy is a great player. He does so much on the ice. If you're watching somebody to really see somebody that gets down and dirty and gritty and does a lot of stuff that doesn't necessarily show up in the box score, I don't think you could find a better person than this. Here is Chris with Pierre earlier today at City National.
As this series goes on, San Jose seems to be playing better and better each game. What do you guys need to do to be able to change that?
To be honest, I felt like last game was probably was not our best effort in that
in that playoff, and they had a good game. So I'm not seeing them as playing it better and better each game. I just think that it's a good team that is being consistent. And after the game number one, they've been just more and more consistent, as simple as that. We've had ups and downs during the game, and I think that this is game number five. We're back home. We lost game number two. We went there and win game number three. Series is tied, so we have good players in the locker room. We have a good team. We just have to go back to our system, as simple as that.
Seems like there's going to be some changes in the lineup tonight. Is there any difficulty when you guys are changing lineups to kind of get used to who you're playing with?
No, not really. If there is any changes, like to be honest, like the guys that come on the ice that time are just pumped to be able to be coming and try to help the team in any way. And then you don't have time to think about like, oh, I have to play with this guy, or, you know, you just go out there and do the job that is requested from you guys. So I don't see it this way. But then obviously our line doesn't have to have such a crazy chemistry, like, you know, a top line. So maybe it's different for them. But to be honest, like for me, it's going to be a pretty much the same game.
In January, if someone had said to you you'd have a best of three series with two games in Las Vegas, would you have signed up for that?
Absolutely. Even if you know me, I don't think it was a best of three. It's tonight's game, and that's it.
Are you looking forward to the crowd tonight? What are you expecting from them?
A bit more of that craziness that they are coming the whole season. I mean, it's been unbelievable the whole season. It's been even more unbelievable since the playoffs started. So, I mean, it's just fortunate enough that we have another chance to play in front of our crowd and to make sure that we make them happy and thank them for everything we've been doing. I mean, they've been a great, and they've been giving you so much energy, and that's why we're still in the race.
All right, thanks a lot. Best of luck tonight, man.
Thank you.
Pierre-Edouard Bomer there, and, you know, he really does look at it that, and I know sometimes people hear these guys say that stuff on our show, and they hear the interviews and that, and it's like, well, that's player speech, that's coach speech. A guy like Pierre, who struggled to get into the league, the NHL, you know, he wasn't a youngster when he made it. He worked his butt off to get here. He's proven why he belongs here. Philadelphia's loss, I truly believe, has been Vegas's game. I really like his game and a lot of stuff he does. But I truly do that I think he's one of the guys that embodies the every game is another chance to get a victory type mentality. He's not looking at the full series and everything. Obviously, they know they have to win four games to win the series, but they're not going, okay, best out of three now, and we need to win tonight, and then we can maybe coast or something. No, he plays his butt off every single night.
And, you know, it really makes sense because it doesn't matter what happens tonight. It doesn't matter how well you play tonight. You can't win Sunday today. You just can't. Maybe we saw that in game two. As well as they played in game one, they scored seven goals. They don't get to carry any of those over with them. Winning game one didn't win them game two.
No.
So you can only win tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just win tonight.
Yeah, yeah. The goal isn't to have the most goals at the end of the series.
Right.
The goal is to have the most goals four out of the seven games,
right,
and then you move on to the next round. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman. When we come back, we're still going to hear from Dave Gosher. Had a chance to talk to him earlier today. Also look at some of the other series here. And we got a pretty cool story about a heckler who had a little bit of his comeuppance, but then actually found it to be kind of cool at a hockey game recently. We'll tell you about that and a lot more here. Getting ready for Game 5 tonight. Toshiba Plaza. You can join Clayton and I out there. Chris will be doing some of the post-game stuff with Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. It's game day. It means there's a lot more to get to here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio. Your home for the Golden Knights in the Valley. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman here with you. Getting ready for Game 5. And remember that other series tonight, Boston-Tampa Bay, is game four. So we are rooting for Tampa Bay to win because it's in Boston. Since it's 50-50, the home and road team winning. Literally, I believe it's 29-29 at this point of the playoffs. So if Tampa wins, that means that then the home team should win in the other game, and that would be the Vegas Golden Knights. So let's go Lightning. Strike early and strike often.
You sound like every single person in the sports book.
Do I?
With your, superstitious logic.
Well, you know what? Since I don't have a feel for the game, I might as well go for that. I got nothing else going here.
We're just gonna break. We're gonna break that mojo though. If Boston comes through, through, then it's due.
Yes.
It's due to be broken.
Yes. If the team of the Dirty Little Rat comes through, then we have to hope that that happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know, one of the other things that I've really enjoyed this season, Clayton, besides working with everybody here and getting to know everybody and having a great season and being part of this incredible ride is a lot of the people that we've met.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the players, but in the media world. And Dave Gosher is one of those guys. Him, Shane Knighty, Dan Duva, Gary Lawless, a lot of people out there that we've been, got relationships and become friends with over the season as well. And had a chance to sit down with Mr. Gosher earlier and, well, kind of talking to him about some of the stuff that we talked about here, and it was the feel for this series, and do the earlier games mean anything? Because I don't have a feel on the series, and I said I think I might know what's going on tonight, but I don't really know for sure, and asked Dave what he thought about it.
The first game was really kind of the outlier, the 7-0 game, and even 4-0 in game four I thought was I don't know if it was a 4-0 game. I thought the Golden Knights had some pretty good chances, and Martin Jones was very good in net for San Jose. So, you know, I think from the Vegas standpoint, I think they'd like to get a little bit more out of some players. You know, their bottom six forwards have been pretty quiet in this series. If you look at how good San Jose's fourth line was the other night with Fair and Sorensen and Melker Carlson, they were difference makers. And I think the Golden Knights' bottom six would like to be a little bit more involved. That could lead to some lineup changes tonight. There's a chance maybe Oscar Lindberg gets in the lineup. Maybe they put David Perron back up on Eric Halla's line. But, yeah, I think they 2-2 series. You know, if you're the Golden Knights and you said in the middle of September when they started training camp you're going to be 2-2 in the second round and have home ice advantage, I think they'd take that.
It seems to me that San Jose's been getting better as the series goes along. Does that make them even more dangerous now, or does it just mean that Vegas has to pick up their game as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Golden Knights can play better. I think they'd be the first ones to tell you that. Even if you look at it, you know, the second game they lost here in overtime, had a 2-0 lead, but I don't think they were thrilled with how they played. The game in San Jose in game three, even though they built a 3-1 lead, a lot of that was power play goals. I think I looked up at one point and the shots were 32-18 for San Jose. But the Golden Knights found a way to win. And I guess that's the other part of it, Frank, at this point in the season, is that as much as we'd like to have it be a comfortable win for Vegas, it's probably not going to be that way. I mean, it's, you know, you look every night in the playoffs, we all watch games. Every game is a grind. Every game is tight. And I would expect that's going to be the way it goes as long as the series goes.
You know, one of the things when people talk about the playoffs, they talk about the importance of home ice. Reality is in this season's playoff, home ice is a coin flip. It's 50-50. It's the exact same amount of wins and losses for every team out there. Is home ice not what it used to be? Or is it just because at this time of year when you're on home ice, you're still playing a team that's pretty darn good?
Yeah, I do think it helps, though. And I think it depends maybe on the home, to be honest with you. And somebody was saying to me earlier today, if you look at the four teams in the West that are still playing, so you got Vegas and San Jose, Nashville and Winnipeg, the home ice advantages in those buildings are pretty awesome. You know, there's no building I don't think in the league like T-Mobile. So, but good teams can find ways to win on the road, as these teams in this series have done. So again, I thought from the beginning it was going to be a long series, because I don't think there's a lot that separates these teams. And right now for me, it's been kind of the depth of San Jose has been a bit better than the depth for Vegas, at least so far anyways.
I've enjoyed listening to you all year long calling the games, but now that you're just kind of doing a post-game show and that you're not necessarily calling every game, do you watch a game a little different when you're just watching it as opposed to when you're calling it? Because maybe you can really see everything develop more because you don't have to be right on the puck calling the action.
Yeah, I have to force myself to focus. I have to try not to let my ADD kick in, if that's what they call it. But yeah, I think you do watch it. I tend to watch a little bit more away from the puck, if that makes sense. You know, when you're calling play-by-play anyways, you're so much focused on who has the puck and where and what's he doing with it. But when you're sitting up there and Shane and I sit and watch the games together, I tend to kind of find myself deviating away from the puck carrier and trying to get an overall view of what's going on. And he and I will talk kind of throughout the game about different things, and he's great at pointing things out. But yeah, it's I will say it's odd not to do games. I don't go to many games. I'm not working, so to kind of sit up there and watch is a different experience, but it's been a lot of fun.
Is there a favorite right now to win the Stanley Cup?
It's tough to say, Frank. I think any team can come out of the West. I think all four teams that are left in the West are good, and good luck picking the East. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh and Washington, as we talk, are tied at 2. Tampa and Boston, it's 2-1 Tampa Bay. I don't know if there is a clear-cut favorite. To me, you know, the old Ric Flair saying, to be the man, you got to beat the man. To be the team, you got to beat the team. And until somebody knocks out Pittsburgh, to me, they're the team to beat. But if you're playing hockey in May, you have a good team, and you have a chance to go a long ways.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I was going to say the same thing. And I think Tom Wilson might have given the man a little new life.
Yeah, and it's not – You know, they say, too, in the playoffs, they usually cut suspensions in half. So if that's in a game in February, he's looking at a six-gamer. So, yeah, you know, I think you look at that if you're Pittsburgh, and, you know, you saw Mike Sullivan. He was almost beside himself after the game. But, you know, the intensity of playoffs, and sometimes you see stuff like that happen.
Dave Gosher there, and a really fine guy, and I like the reference with the Ric Flair in that. And the reason I asked him about the watching the game differently, I know I watch a game differently when we're not covering it, and we don't have to call the game. So when you call it, I can imagine it's even that much more intense, because he's right. You have to follow the puck constantly. You have to know what's going on there and see what's going on so you can call the play and kind of anticipate things. But when I'm just watching it as a fan, I sit back and I do watch a lot more stuff in the corners and different things, and even when we're covering it, than I do when I'm just studying it, like if I were to do a mock-em, you know, tape or something like that to try to see as a play-by-play guy. It's a completely different perspective.
And one of the things I love about Dave Gosher and listening to him call games is that he might have the smallest ego in all of media, particularly when you talk about guys that are they're in the mix and in the fire calling games. And I never feel like he's trying to educate you, because he's got a wealth of knowledge. It's more like he sits there and he shares with you. It's not a lecture. He invites you into the conversation. And I really like that about Dave Gosher. And you can get that sense when you talk to him, and you get that sense when you listen to him broadcast. And I've really enjoyed having him here and having him be part of the team.
Yeah, he doesn't ever talk down to anybody in a condescending way or load it over somebody like, I know more than you do. Or whatever. You're right. He's a very comfortable and good listen. And I think Knighty and him have worked really well together this season.
Yeah, great team.
So, enjoy hearing them all the time. Well, you know, when it comes to the other series right now, when you think of to beat the man or the team, that team obviously would be the Pittsburgh Penguins with the back-to-back championships. But when you think of Pittsburgh, you always think of Sidney Crosby or Evgeny Malkin, maybe. Maybe they'd be the tag team champs. But when it comes to playoff time, the guy that you maybe need to look at the most is Jake Guentzel. Jake Guentzel, in 10 games now, has 21 points, making him just the seventh player in history of the NHL playoffs to have 20 or more points in just 10 games. Some pretty nice company that he's sharing there. By the way, Wayne Gretzky achieved that feat five different times in his career.
Well, Wayne Gretzky kid was pretty good.
He wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was all right.
But yeah, but Guentzel now has recorded 22 goals and 26 assists in 82 regular season appearances, upping his point per game average from 0.58 to 2 points a game here. Just absolutely incredible what this guy is doing. And again, the other people that have joined him, Gretzky, like I mentioned, did it five times. Mark Messier did it twice. Rick Middleton, Barry Pettersson, Daryl Sittler, and Mike Bossy way back in 1981. But very nice stats there for Guentzel. And this is a guy, I really like this kid's game, and I think he is a crucial part of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
He really is. He's one of those guys that I said, if Crosby and Malkin don't get you, Guentzel will. And in that series, though, Washington, they need a little bit of offense of their own. They might be close to getting some help back. Andrei Burakovsky skated on Friday. It's the first time that he has done so since getting an upper body injury in Game 2 back against the Blue Jackets. He skated for about an hour before practice, didn't handle any pucks, and left the ice when regular practice started. He won't play in Game 5, but they feel like he's close.
And he is close, and, well, they know how close Tom Wilson is, because Tom Wilson took himself out of it, and you heard us talking to Dave Gosher about that as well. And if you haven't been watching that series that much, Tom Wilson has been playing on their first line. When you think about people that are getting suspended or have a history of doing that kind of thing, you usually think of a third or fourth line player, maybe somebody who's playing a little bit on the edge and trying to prove that he's got to be that way. Wilson was having a career year this year for the Penguins. He's really fit in. Ovechkin's having a great season with him again. For him to take himself out of a game like that, I just don't understand that type of mentality. And I know that the players on the Capitals and the Barry Trotz says that it's not his fault, but it's his fault. The guy goes out there and goes headhunting.
Yeah, and they can say all that they want about how, oh, it wasn't really a bad hit, or, oh, they're just targeting Tom Wilson. But come on, you put your shoulder right into the face of the guy. He's got a concussion and a broken jaw. You're going to get a broken jaw from a hit to the shoulder.
No, absolutely not. And Boston's got a guy like that too, with a ton of skill. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that he's as dirty as Wilson is with the hits and that, but he definitely goes over the line. And the other thing is, even if they want to say, look, it's hard hits and that, okay, then how does that translate to when the guys are doing the slew foot and the other mm-hmm. stuff and tripping guys and things? It's not just hard hits high on the body that these guys do. They do a lot of other things as well. I guess if there's one thing I can say positive about Wilson, at least he doesn't come up and lick people like Marchand
does.
Yeah,
that's true. That is true. And Frank, we have a trade that went down yesterday. Former Golden Knight Marcus Kruger, who was here for on paper at least, don't think he ever landed in town. He was traded to Arizona by Carolina on Thursday, along with a third-round pick in this upcoming 2018 draft for Jordan Martinook and a fourth-round pick also in this 2018 draft.
Yeah, and Kruger's an interesting thing, too, because when he went to Carolina, a lot of people in Carolina thought that he was going to be a big answer to their question and a quality player. They ended up sending him down to Charlotte at the end of the season, I think, hoping that somebody might pick him up or do something. So some people are questioning why Arizona would even do that move, because they thought that maybe he'd be available or they could get him for even less. But I do think Kruger is a decent player. And if you just think that it means that Kruger can't play the game, remember this. You might be a star on one team or a very good piece on one team, but maybe you just don't fit in or can't find your rhythm with the team that you've gone to. Because we have that right here with the Vegas Golden Knights and a guy named Tomas Tatar, who I still think is going to be a good player. You look at what he did in Detroit and the five plus million dollars that he makes a year, he's a guy that can definitely play. Sometimes you're just not in the right situation. Maybe William Karlsson had that in Columbus.
Yeah, maybe so. Only one goal and five assists through 48 games for Carolina this year. So Kruger on his way to Phoenix to join the Arizona Coyotes. A couple of guys are heading back to Europe, Frank. It is a plane load of people that want to get out of Edmonton. That's not a good sign for their front office.
Mark Savard's not going to like those guys.
Iiro Pakarainen and Anton Shlebyshev have already said that they're going back to the KHL. Shlebyshev's getting ready to sign a deal with CSKA Moscow. And then Johan Avitu, he made his intentions to Finnish TV that he was headed back to Europe. He said, I'll come back to Europe. I've not decided yet where I want to play, but I no longer want to try in North America. So three guys that were a part of Edmonton this year all saying, no thank you, Oilers. I would rather go back to Europe.
Well, and you know, sometimes things just don't work out. Again, we'll use a Vegas Golden Knights reference, Vadim Shipachev.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for him over here. He went back over there. Thought he was on the national team in the Olympics, but then was a healthy scratch for those games as well. So
what is going on with that guy?
Sometimes I don't know, because he does have talent in that, but you know, I don't know. Sometimes it's a mental game. We you look at a talent of somebody, and sometimes it doesn't necessarily translate. Some guys overachieve from what the talent you think they have, and some guys underachieve. And so far, I would think that Shipachev would be one of those underachievers.
Yeah, you would think so. Another Russian, though, going to give his try over here is Ilya Samsonov from Washington. He signed an entry-level contract at $925,000 average annual value. He's 21 years old, the goaltender, and he was sort of the surprise pick by them in the 2015 draft, but they're ready to give him a look, which is a little curious because Braden Holtby, he's still young. He's only 25, and he's supposed to be the future, and he's the guy that's gotten them back in the playoffs after Philip Grubauer dropped those two games against Columbus, but they're excited to look towards the future and are going to give Samsonov a look.
I guess maybe one thing that does make sense is he is only 21, so maybe they think they can bring him over here, but he has played in the KHL. He's coming off a pretty good season, a .926 save percentage in 26 games this season. He was the 22nd overall pick, like you mentioned, back in 2015, so obviously they think he's got a pretty good upside. We'll see if he equates over here and if it works out for him or not, but I don't know if this is a way to make Holtby go, look, we're going to keep on searching for somebody who could maybe replace you down the road, or if maybe if it's thing of saying, look, Grubauer, you had a really good season, but you know, you're not going to be around forever as well, because Grubauer, although he's a backup with a lot of experience and a lot of games. He had a really good regular season, but yeah, in the playoffs, he was not very good at all.
Yeah, not good at all. Some coaching news. Jim Montgomery, the former head coach at the University of Denver, won the national championship in 2017. He's going to be the new head coach in Dallas, replacing Ken Hitchcock. Jim Montgomery's name was also linked to the Rangers' job, so he'll obviously not be going there. And the Rangers got another blow today. Larry Brooks of the New York Post reporting that David Quinn, who's the head coach at Boston University, is reportedly taking his name out of the coaching search, say he wants to remain at Boston University. And David Quinn also named as the head coach to Team USA for the 2019 World Juniors.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, did Quinn pull his name out because he just really liked it that much at Boston? Did he think he wasn't going to get the job there? Was somebody else a front runner? I mean, we don't know the exact reasons that he pulled himself out, but the bottom line is he's probably very happy and content with where he is. And you know what? If you're in the college ranks, not too many better jobs than where he's at.
And did he realize that it was the New York Rangers? And maybe not a good situation. And if you're going to make that leap from a good spot in college and you want to make a mark in the NHL, you better take a better position than perhaps where the Rangers are right now.
Yeah, Henrik Lundqvist is great.
He's great.
He's great. Not sure about the rest of the team.
Yeah. A little tough for the rest of the team.
All right. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman getting ready for Game 5. When we come back, well, there's other teams going on and other games, obviously. Hopefully, we'll continue rounds of the Western Conference Finals and then the Stanley Cups. Tonight's game could have a lot to say about that. But when we come back, we're going to tell you about a Nashville Predator fan, Ben McCreevy. He likes to go to games. He has great seats. He's in the front row. He also likes to chirp at people and kind of give it to them. Well, he was doing it the other day, and he said that he was embarrassed, but then he maybe made some new friends. We'll tell you what that's all about next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back. Final go around here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show getting ready for Game 5 tonight. Game Sunday once again. We will be over at Parkway Tavern, 215 in Flamingo. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman in the studio here as well. That game will be a 4:30 start time with a 4 p.m. pregame. But other series going on, Nashville and Winnipeg. Hopefully, Vegas will be playing the winner of that series. It's even right now. Nashville fan Ben McCreevy, well, he has front row seats at Bridgestone Arena. In Game 2, he started chirping quite a bit at Dustin Byfuglien. Big Buff, as he's known. He said he heard some people behind him laughing. Said, I hear them laughing every single time I throw something at Byfuglien. And finally, late in the second period, I stood up, and that's when I told Byfuglien, you're the biggest piece of dirt on the ice out there. And they just started cracking up. They were dying laughing at that. He said, well, you know, wasn't sure if maybe they knew exactly that Byfuglien is a pretty good player. So he kind of turned around and let them know, I only give him stuff because he's really actually a really good player. And the people looked at him and said, well, yeah, we know he's a good player. We're his parents.
So good.
He turned around, acknowledged the fact that Byfuglien's a good player, said, no. We think it's awesome. It's hilarious. He's our son. He said at that point he started stammering a little bit in that, and the people said, no, it's really cool. We think you're doing a good job of heckling him in that, but yeah. And then the parents actually went on and started looking at his social media and that, and they started talking to other people that he had. And we're asking questions like, how did you raise such a big bruising hockey player in that? They were interacting with the Nashville
That's
fan
fantastic.
Who was giving their son garbage.
Hey, you know who else is a pretty good player?
Who that?
Cam Atkinson. He had two scores in the shootout. USA beat Canada today at the World Championships. Also, Russia over France, 7-0. Two other scores, Sweden blanks Belarus, and Denmark beats Germany 3-2. That final in overtime.
And in that USA win, 5-4, the goalie, Keith Kincaid from New Jersey, number one star of the game. He was the star for the USA, made 44 saves.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty good. Not bad whatsoever.
Yeah,
hopefully Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't have to make that many tonight, but hopefully he stops everything that he faces.
France losing 7-0. They were missing Belly.
And what's with Germany?
Yeah.
They still got the hangover from the Olympics?
It must be.
Well, I know T.C. Martin's not hungover. He's getting ready for some derby talk and a lot more. We'll talk to you Monday, hopefully after a couple victories. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Have a great weekend.